Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. You can be a part of the program, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. If you have a question or a comment, maybe a wish of happy holidays to us, you can leave it at the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
Yeah, you can say Merry Christmas.
You can say Happy Christmas.
Or Happy Christmas if you're from the Great Island.
I don't know. I feel like every Netflix show this year is like saying Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
It seems to be a lot of the British shows, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. More British.
Mm.
Happy Christmas. I was watching a British show.
Oh, Happy Christmas there. What? Who said that?
Reach. I'm not even going to. I jokingly did one the other day, and people were texting in about it, so I'm like, I'm not doing that again.
All right. Well, the Canucks may be trying to knock some things off their holiday shopping list, so let's get to the open here on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Mark! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central. It's where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And today, with the holiday trade freeze at about, you know, what, 30 hours and counting, something like that,
yeah,
from kicking into gear December 20th at midnight Eastern time, so that's 9 Pacific tomorrow, that's when the holiday roster freeze kicks in. No trades, no transactions, those kinds of things are kaput for a little while until we get through the holidays. So teams are making calls. Teams are seeing what's out there. Maybe they can get something done. And Frank Saravalli saying that the Canucks are putting in work on the top 4D market as they try to knock that off their holiday shopping list.
Yeah, I don't think there is a front office that works the phones harder than the Vancouver Canucks. And we know deadlines make deals sometimes, right? And this deadline is coming up, and I would imagine the Canucks are scouring, seeing what's going on, and seeing if they can pull something off. I asked about this today. I heard nothing imminent as far as the Canucks are concerned when it comes to a trade. And I say that, and Reach is like, a trade just went down?
Yeah, can we get the breaking news music? No? No breaking news music? Okay. Well, I mean, we don't really need it. It's not a Canucks trade, so.
But there is a trade.
But there is a trade.
What is the trade? It was funny because I'm like, nothing imminent on the Canucks. And Reach looks at his phone and he's like, a trade just went down.
The New York Rangers have acquired Will Borgen, a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick, in exchange for Kaapo Kakko going to the Seattle Kraken.
Wow. So Kaapo Kakko for Will Borgen and a third-round pick?
The Rangers are also receiving a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick in this year's upcoming draft, 2025. Third-rounder, sixth-rounder, and Will Borgen going to the New York Rangers. Kaapo Kakko going to the Seattle Kraken.
So I'd say Will Borgen's trade value would be something around a second-round pick, right? Because he's kind of a number five defenseman.
Yeah.
Based on his minutes, maybe a four. You kind of push guys like him at the deadline, usually get a second and something. So the valuation is essentially a second, a third. You can say, you know, a second and a couple of thirds overall value, something along those lines.
Yeah. And he is a rental.
So Borgen's a rental. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what he's worth. Like, as a rental, he's probably worth like a second round pick and maybe a prospect or second and a fourth or something
and
along those lines.
Kakko, obviously a second overall pick from not too long ago, is a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So his next contract obviously is an interesting one. And he had some pointed commentary on a recent healthy scratch. So the Rangers and Chris Drury have decided, you know what? We're going to move on. Yeah. And Kaapo Kakko is now a member of the Seattle Kraken.
I like it for Seattle.
Yeah.
Take a gamble on him. all you're giving up is a third and a sixth. Well, Borgen, sure, but you weren't going to keep him.
Yeah.
So it's not a steep price. And if he ends up figuring it out and becomes, you know, scores 25-30, then you're laughing.
They need more scoring talent on that team.
And it's a worthwhile gamble.
He has that potential, obviously. There was a reason he was drafted second overall. He's had some pretty good years, you know, and he's constantly struggled to get put in bigger positions in New York. They've, you know, had Lafreniere get bigger spots. They've had other players get bigger chances. Now Kaapo Kakko going to head to Seattle, and maybe he'll get a bigger chance there.
Yeah, and as far as Will Borgen is concerned, if Will Borgen was available, righty defenseman,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a name the Canucks probably checked in on. And the fact that this trade went down, you heard about you heard Frank Cervalli, as you mentioned, talking about things heating up. Were they in the thick of something like this, potentially?
Yeah. Potentially. I don't know if Will Borgen qualifies as like a true top four defenseman.
No.
Though, as like that was Cervalli's big thing when we talked to him on Monday and when he was on Halford and Brough earlier today, and even when he spoke on Daily Faceoff Live, just that the Canucks are really trying to find
A top four guy. Yeah.
Which is what you've been saying as well here on the show.
And at the same time, it's about you want to get a top four guy, but it comes down to who's available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dahlwall brought up Provorov today.
Yeah.
He would fit that bill as a top four guy, but he's a rental, doesn't have term. And if the Canucks are giving up, you know, something of real value, I think they want term. Now,
yeah,
if you get a chance to maybe talk to Provorov before a trade and you can find an extension with him, does that maybe change the equation, right? That would fit a top four guy with term if you could figure that out. You know, just spitballing on that, right? Borgen, it comes down to a projection. If you think he can be a top four, and he's a right-hand defenseman, and we talked about the righty guys. Now, unless Rasmus Anderson becomes available, we're not talking about a super high-end right-hand defenseman. Like, who would you rather have, Ristolainen or Borgen?
Borgen, because I'm not too keen on taking on Risto's contract for next year.
Right. And I think defensively, Borgen's better.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much offense, but I think defensively, you know, a guy like Borgen would be better. So he'd be similar to a Ristolainen type, you know, as far as overall value-wise, right? But there are certain traits with Borgen that I like better as well. But I think for the Canucks,
like what
Borgen
would this
probably, if they're giving up Kakko in a third, I don't think the Canucks can match that. As far as like, I don't think Hoglander is a better prospect than Kakko.
Yeah.
So unless you're trading, and you're not trading Lekkomäki or Willander, right? So
it's like, if you were to do this for the Canucks, it's probably Hoglander for Borgen straight up. That's closer to the valuation. Like,
than Kakko?
The Rangers aren't getting a third and a sixth on top of Will Borgen. It's more, the deal's one for one.
Yeah.
Nils Hoglander for Will Borgen. I would imagine that's more of the deal than anything else. And that also is predicated on, do the Rangers or would Seattle even really like Nils Hoglander that much versus taking on a player with a lot higher upside, even though their points per game to this stage of their career is very similar between Kaapo Kakko and Nils Hoglander.
But he's considered a better young like prospect still. I mean, he's a player in the NHL, but he's considered to have higher upside.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the contract attached to him, and he has a bit of size. He's 6'1", you know, 6'1", 6'2", kind of in that range. You know, that's something that Hoglander doesn't have.
It's an interesting one. Like, Seattle's not moving on Will Borgen right now unless they're getting something that they're really into.
And they did.
And they got something that they are obviously really excited about in a second overall pick from not too long ago. So take another name off the board, because I know a lot of you have said Will Borgen would be a great fit on the Canucks. You could have Soucy and Borgen play as a shutdown line of sorts. Well, it's not going to happen, as Will Borgen is the Rangers' replacement for Jacob Trouba after they moved on from Trouba in that deal not too long ago. And now that deal gets done. Borgen making 2.7 on the cap for this year. Kaapo Kakko is around the same range, just as I bring it up shortly here. And I bring up Borgen's name because that was a name linked to, well, not linked to the Canucks, but it's an unrestricted free agent defenseman that the Canucks could have potentially been a part of trying to acquire, because it's not a deep pool of defensemen on the rental market. So now that another name comes off the board, it becomes even tighter. You heard Dolly Wall say Ivan Provorov today, and he's making just a little over four with Columbus right now. And I think the cap is a big part of this equation, Sad, as you often remind us here on the show. For now, the Canucks have been wanting to and have tried everything they can to accrue cap space. It's been difficult because of all the injuries they've had to navigate early on this season. But the way that it gets easier for the Canucks to make trades is for time to move on so that they can accrue more cap space and have a little bit more flexibility rather than the money in, money out type moves that they currently have to make.
Yeah, and that's the big takeaway here. It's money in, money out. Right now, the Canucks have anywhere from, depending on how you want to calculate things and with the players they've called up, about $1.9 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. So that means you can add a player right now worth almost $2 million.
Yeah.
But anything above that, you have to add on top of it. Now, what I believe the Canucks would prefer to do, even if they're making a trade right now, is to still make it dollar for dollar and then still save that bit of cap space to do other things later on. Because if you can add a player and not add to your cap, then you can still accrue cap space. And now maybe at the deadline, you can make the other acquisition, whether it's the forward you get first or the defenseman you get second or whatever. That's the player you can pursue or other pieces you can pursue at the deadline. But for functionality speaking, let's say that they do move Desharnais in a trade. Now that's $4 million right there.
Yeah.
You know, so you could add a $4 million player. Now, if you're adding a player, another player on top of it, say Hoglander even, that means you can add a player worth anywhere from $4 to $5 million, maybe even $6 million.
Right.
But again, they want to keep some cap space still. So I think it's in that if they can make acquisitions for a Provorov type, and if you can include either Desharnais in the trade or move Desharnais off the books, and even Hoglander in it in some way, for instance, that would allow you to still have some cap space and do some other things. So to your point, they're still very much in a dollar in, dollar out situation. And that's why I got like Provorov, because they retained salary.
Yeah,
the Blue Jackets got the Flyers to do
$4.725 is his cap charge for this year.
That's a workable number. If you can move Desharnais in the deal,
yeah,
you can make that happen.
Provorov's name came up. Rick Dhaliwal mentioned it. Obviously, he is probably the number one rental defenseman on the market for this year. Will Borgen was one of the other top guys. He is now off of that board. And, you know, as far as imminent, you know, Frank Saravalli said Canucks being aggressive on the phones, trying to work the phones, trying to get something done. Now, imminent, I don't think Frank used that word specifically, but imminent in this definition would be get it done by tomorrow's roster freeze.
Yeah, and I mean, I still wouldn't bet on that happening for the Canucks when it comes to a trade. It could happen, obviously, but
only takes one phone call, Seth.
All it takes is one phone call. Things can change, right? And again, we're going up against a deadline too. Yeah. And not that it's a huge deadline, because it's a roster freeze.
Yeah.
And the roster freeze lifts in like less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about a long phase here, right? And so it could happen. It just doesn't seem like anything was close. You know, obviously, as I had discussions earlier this afternoon, nothing was close for the Vancouver Canucks, but we know they're always working on things, right? But I am fascinated to see if they can truly add a higher-end defenseman, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like we talked about, you mentioned this yesterday, you mentioned, you know, all the insiders saying the same thing. It's a legit top four guy they want.
Yeah.
But if you want a legit top four guy, it's not a cheap price of acquisition.
Well,
like even Provorov, we can talk about Hoglander, but it's Hoglander plus.
Yeah.
Like, why would they trade him now when they're playing 500 hockey, kind of being in the mix, trying to turn things around? They've had a positive rebound to a tough start to their season, obviously, right? Why would they trade Provorov now unless you make it a deal they can't refuse, essentially?
It doesn't make sense for them to move Provorov now. When you've got the number one guy in the market.
So to illuminate the point, you're not getting him for just Hoglander.
Yeah.
So it's like a Hoglander and a first, maybe. Are you doing that trade right now?
Even then, like, it depends how much you like Höglander as the Blue Jackets, right?
Exactly. They may not even love it, right? So you don't know. My point being, what are you willing to give up to acquire this player? So we can sit here and talk about the Canucks are in on top four defensemen, and a legitimate top four guy. But to acquire that, you have to give up some legitimate pieces here. So what are you comfortable giving up?
How much are you willing to put on the credit card to make this transaction?
Essentially.
Are you getting 12 months, no interest? Probably not, because it's going to cost you quite a bit in terms of future assets if the Canucks are going to get a top four defenseman. What did it cost them to get Filip Hronek? It cost them a first round draft choice that ended up being 17th, 18th overall from the New York Islanders is where it ended up. So not exactly cheap. They also gave up a second round pick in that deal for Filip Hronek. Now, that's kind of the going rate for a top four defenseman at the very least. It's one of those that can very well be seen as the traditional trade package.
Yeah, but at the same time, the first round pick the Canucks gave up was a good first round pick.
Yeah, it was the Islanders, and it was top 12 protected, but didn't have protection the following year.
Yeah, so it had if the Islanders had missed the playoffs, which they ended up not doing.
They ended up making the playoffs after they got Bo Horvat.
Yeah, but if they would have missed the playoffs, they would have kept their pick.
And that could have been a lottery pick.
Yeah, so there was value in it. But still, it ended up being a top 18 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And anything in the teens, even in the later teens, is valuable. You get to the 20s, it drops off, right? So that was still a valuable first-round draft pick. It wasn't just a traditional first-round late pick that a contending team is giving up.
So it was a more valuable first-round pick than potentially what the Canucks have to offer this year.
Oh, it's certainly more valuable. Yeah. Unless, like, the Canucks miss the playoffs and they give an unpredictable pick up next year. Like, that's how it would be similar.
Which is unlikely. Most teams, they put the top 10 protection almost always.
Yes.
Like, even Vegas put top 10 protection on their pick that they sent to Buffalo for Jack Eichel. And it's Vegas. So it was kind of surprising to see that. But what do you have if you're the Canucks to trade other than your first round pick? The problem I keep running into in the idea of this conversation is, okay, yeah, the first round pick is one thing, but then you have two high-end prospects in Lekkerimäki and Villander, but the drop-off after that is pretty significant. Like, what's the trade value of the next best prospect on the team? And I'm not sure it will probably match up with a lot of other teams' available prospects. So if you're not willing to trade Lekkerimäki, Villander, it feels to me like it's going to be a hard trade to make.
So I think they have prospects that are of value that teams would like, right? But they're not strong enough in and of themselves to be the main piece.
Right.
So it would have to be that piece plus a first round pick. Like, essentially, I just don't know how the Canucks can do this without trading their first
round pick. Like Ratu wasn't the centerpiece pick or centerpiece of the Horvat trade.
It was the pick.
So would that be the case?
Yes.
In a potential acquisition?
Yes. I think that's...
If Ratu were to be a part of that next deal.
If you don't want to move anybody off your roster outside of Höglander, and again, we talk about his value, right? Because even a high-end type, and they don't have a ton of value, and would the team be as so bold to make a bigger trade involving a bigger player, mm-hmm. right? You know, Besser situation... I just don't think we're at a point yet with Besser where he ends up getting moved. I think the only way that happens is closer to the deadline reach and they can't come to a contract agreement. And I believe the Canucks are earnest in their desire to keep Brock Besser. And if I had to bet money, I would bet on that getting done, at least based on all the info that we have right now. So I don't see him being a player that's getting moved.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. All the Pettersson rumors have been out there, but recently, if you ask anybody with the team, they shoot them down very hard, saying mm-hmm. nothing is going to happen. Obviously, you know, you always have to leave the door open to a possibility with this management team, but at least the messaging has been very clear recently from anybody you talk to, whether it's putting on a face or not, that he's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trading Garland? Like, he's been really good. Like, he's a coach's favorite, right? So I'm just asking, like...
You're not getting a lot out of your forward group, so it'd be hard to move off Garland right now.
Right. So it's got to be your first again. Yeah. You know, so I just don't know how you're going to do this unless you're trading your first round pick or your top prospect. Like, that's kind of the position you're in.
It's a tough one to be in. A couple of texts coming in on this topic. One saying that it would be a massive mistake for the Canucks to move Volander in any deal for a top four D-man. Volander is a hope you need to win a cup. A young stud D-man who's cheap. We have 3 years of Hughes left that are guaranteed to win. You have to think Rutherford is on that timeline. That's from a loud Titans fan on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. DPD is a potential trade asset. Like, I think you can deal from a position of strength with your left side D prospects, Sawyer Mignot, Elias Pettersson, and Kirill Kudryavtsev. I don't know how significant the value of any of those players really is. Like, you got 2 third-round picks in there and a 7th-round draft choice.
Yeah.
While they're promising, like, they don't really have the cachet of a guy who was drafted in the first round a couple of years ago.
No, but could they be somewhere like Hunter Brustevich was last year, value-wise?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, he had a great...
Like, Mignot has a great World Junior Championship. His prospect value goes up, maybe?
Or even based on how people view DPD. And honestly, I'm not even trying to bring... We're not talking about these guys as if they should move these guys or should happen, for instance.
Just talking about valuations.
But I do think that there are players like Hunter, like, the type of package they gave up for Lindholm. You know, Tones brings that up on text inbox. Isn't that, you know, the Lindholm trade, a couple of second-tier prospects and a first-round pick? Kind of. Like, that's kind of what you're looking at now, right?
Yeah.
And is somebody in their ranks, prospect ranks, viewed similarly to how Hunter Brustevich was viewed?
Yeah.
Now, Brustevich has had his struggles this year in the AHL. He hasn't really been able to take that step, right? And, you know, we'll see ultimately what he becomes. But they sold him on a high.
Yeah.
So they have guys that could be similar in valuations, right, to be able to make a trade. I just kind of wonder if, you know, trading a first-round pick again, is it a wise move? Mm. It all comes down to who you get, and I don't think you can trade a first-round pick again this year and then not keep the player. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can risk losing another value asset like that and only have it for 1 year. I understood the trade last year. They tried to keep Lindholm, and he was really good for them. Like, I can justify the trade last year. I can't justify trading a first-round pick in back-to-back years and not keeping the player, short of that player winning you the Stanley Cup. Like, that's the only way. If you win the Stanley Cup, I don't care. I could care less about the first-round pick you traded. But that's kind of what it becomes if you trade a first again and you don't keep the player.
Mignot is a really interesting prospect. He had 53 points in 63 games last year with Seattle, 16 of those goals. Is on Team Canada at the World Juniors this year, 19 years old, over 6 feet tall, so he's got some size to him and is already at 19 points in 18 games so far this year as a 19-year-old in the dub. So, you know, those are some of the things you're looking at and are going to be have to... It's what you're going to have to be willing to part with if the Canucks are going to acquire a top-four defenseman of any true value top four defenseman.
Yeah, I see Rob and Victoria and others, you know, saying, please don't trade Verlander. You can't trade Verlander. But the only way I think he gets moved, or even Lekromäki, is if they're getting somebody in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
That's
if you find a long-term...
For a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're trading him, it's kind of like, okay, well, you got to pay something to get something, and you're at least getting a legitimate high-end young defenseman, right? And I just don't know if that player right now is available. They could be.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe if Buffalo decides to do something.
Yeah.
And they do something pretty crazy with one of their high-end young defensemen. I'm not even talking about Samuelson, but let's say, for instance, Owen Power. Let's say, for instance, Bowen Byram. Those are the ones where you could justify trading your top prospects for, because you're getting legitimate top 2-3 defensemen that are in their early to mid-20s.
And Buffalo lost their 11th straight game last night. So really... feels like we're not too far away from anything being on the table for them. All right, quickly in the Canucks Central roundup before we get to Kevin Woodley. Demko starting his third straight game tonight as the Canucks visit Utah for the first time since they moved over from Arizona. And Lankinen will get one more day to recover from the flu and will likely play tomorrow when the Canucks take on the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk more about this with Woodley, because I did see some concern, wonder from the fan base about Demko starting his third straight game.
Yeah, and honestly, I understand. Mm-hmm. I totally understand why there is some questions and concerns, because Demko's coming off a pretty significant situation.
Yeah.
And he's had trouble staying healthy, and workload's a big question, right? It's a fair question to ask.
Yeah.
It's just how much of it is cause for concern.
He will have played four of the last five now.
Yeah.
After he plays tonight. And I don't think this happens if Lankinen doesn't get the flu, obviously, but now you're adapting to the situation.
Yeah. And the question is it worth it? I mean, again, like, because there's been breaks in between, but I don't think their idea was
like he's playing tonight or he's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, that part is fine. It's more about the accumulation. I think as far as game, you're right. I mean, tomorrow or tonight, is one day going to make a difference? It's more about, is four out of five is too much of a workload early for a player coming off his situation?
Derek Forbert will also not play. Rick Tocchet mentioned that in his pregame news conference as well. In Utah, hockey club owner Ryan Smith, and he's trying to give up as many tickets as he can. So they have like extra seats that you can only see one goal in the arena because it's built for basketball, right? So there's some seats that don't have the best viewing experience for hockey games. And
it's like Kevin Weeks trying to shoot his videos. You only see the top of his head. That's kind of where it is.
Yeah,
like,
he's like Wilson in Home Improvement. And and so they're just saying, you know what? Usually we don't give out these tickets, but I'm going to try and give out some of those for free tonight. So they're going to pack the building as much as possible for Vancouver's first visit to Utah. We'll see how that goes tonight for the Canucks. If you have a hockey player to buy for on your Christmas list, you need to check out the Hockey Shop in Langley. Their expert staff have been busy getting their stick racks ready for gift giving season, and they've got the best selection of Bauer sticks for you to put under the tree. Like Bauer's newest stick, that's the ultimate gift for any hockey player, the Bauer Twitch. At the top of every kid's wish list is the Bauer Mystery Mini Stick, and the Hockey Shop has those in stock now. The Hockey Shop in Langley or online at thehockeyshop.com. Kevin Woodley is next on Canuck Central.